Okay, so we're going to start with Sheni. V'acharechen yavay v'halavim la'avodas ha'elamoid. Afterwards, after the beginning of the parasha tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to wave. He's going to select the Levim. The Levim over here are now coming to take over the firstborns, because the firstborns, they worship the Egel, they have been removed from their service, and the Levim are going to replace them. So the Achachim Yavo HaLevim La'avoid, they're going to service El Moed. V'tihartoi some, you shall purify the Levim. V'heinaftoi some to Mufa. This is a very bizarre thing. And Moshe Rabbeinu waved. He picked up every single Levi in the Jewish people. He picked them up and he waved them like a lulav and an esrog. Can you imagine doing that? It's extremely difficult to accept, to understand what's going on over here. How is it possible for Moshe to wave, to pick up so many people and to literally wave them up and down in all directions in a very short period of time? Okay, whatever it means, it means. And by the way, before he did that, the Levim had to shave off their hair. They had to shave off all the hair on their body. Even though you're not allowed to shave off your peis harosh, peis hazaken, beard, it doesn't matter. They had to remove their beards and their peis and their hair. And all of the hair on their body was completely removed for this process. Sorry?
With a razor?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure the exact details. But this is what was required. This is, by the way, one of the things that the Korach was very upset about. His wife told him, what a bushel chlima. And you should have really been the Kohen Gadol. And look what they're doing to you. They're mevazeh you by telling you to take off all of your hair. He was a Levi Korach. This was part of the process which got him very upset. That he was humiliated, where he had to be shaven bald. Every hair in his body was completely removed. Okay, let's put that aside for now. V'achin yavo v'halavim will come lavo to service ol moed. V'tiartoi some, you shall purify them. V'naftoi some to mifal, you shall wave them as a waving. Rashi, I don't think the Rashi says here. There is no Rashi in this pasuk. Pasuk tezayin targum arei af rosho muf rishin inun. You shall wave them. Kodomai migoy b'nei yishol v'chalof. I'm reading the wrong pasuk, I'm sorry. Pasuk tezvav. Ubos archein. Afterwards, Ya'alun Levo'e, the Levim will enter the Miflach Yos Mashkon Zimna to serve in the Mashkon Zimna. That's called the Ohel Moed, the Ohel that's temporary. Usidakei Yosod, you shall purify them. Usirim Yoshoin Aromo, and you shall weigh them. Now, I'm not going to do every Targum. I want to focus more on the Targumim, which are more juicy, because we have so little time. So we'll go to the next pasuk. Ki. Now here's the part we are going to say, ki, why. The pasuk goes on to say, next pasuk, nisunim nisunim heim olim mitoch b'nei Yisrael. The Levim have been given over to me from the Jewish people, tachas, in exchange, pitras kol rechem. Pitras means the opener of every womb, b'chor kol. The pasuk here is very interesting. It repeats itself. It explains to us what is called the Peterechem. We know what the Peterechem is. The Peterechem is the firstborn. And the pasuk repeats itself by telling us that the opener of the womb is the firstborn of every single member of the B'nai Yisrael. Lakachti oisam li, I have selected this tribe to be for me, to serve me. Okay, now let's analyze this pasuk first in Rashi, and then the Targum, we'll see what's going on over here. Short Rashi. Rashi here says, and pasuk to Zion, that the Levim have been given over to me. Nisunim, nisunim. Rashi, we're going to see here machlokes between Rashi and the Unkelus as to the precise meaning of the word nisunim. Rashi says nisunim lemaso, nisunim leshir. The word nisunim is repeated, and Rashi picks up on the meaning of the word nisunim. They've been given over for carrying all of the utensils and the structure of the Mishkan, and they've been given over for serving as for singing. There are two things that they've done in the service. They carried the Mishkan from one location to the next during the Masois, and number two, when they came to rest, they would sing. There is a machlekes in the Gemara. What was the primary singing? Was it Was it shira b'peh, or was it sing with musical instruments? But everyone agrees they would perform shira, and that is what these people have been delivered. They have devoted themselves. They have given themselves over for these two purposes. Now it is interesting that there's a third job that it does not mention. The Levim also were guardians. They stood shemira. And it makes no mention of that here. Rashi says their primary role was to carry and to sing shira. There was another role that the Levim served. They stood shemira. Okay, for certain, and that we know that's
the gatekeeping.
And it's a gzeres hakosa. It says in the pasuk shemartem. It says they are supposed to do shemira. And that, for some reason, is not mentioned. It says the word nesudim twice, and that is not mentioned. That is very curious. Pitras, what does Pitras mean? It means the pesichas, the opening. Let's see the Targum. The Targum seems to disagree with Rashi. Because the Targum, when he translates the word over here, of nesunim, if the Targum would agree to Rashi that they have been delivered, the correct term in the Targum should be the word mosur. Mosur is the Aramaic form of the word nosun. And yet the Targum does not say that. Targum here says, in Pasuk Tezayin Arei, because, ki, af rosho mufrishin. They have been separated. Separation is not the same as a deliverance. He's using here a very interesting translation for the word nisunim. The Pasuk here says, nisunim. And he translates it to mean, af rosho mufrishin. Okay, we'll see, inun they, kodomai, before me, migoy b'nei Yisrael, chalaf, in exchange, for pesach kol valdo. I really apologize, the copy over here, the photocopy, usually comes out much better. For some reason, the picture didn't come out, and wasn't focused well. Pesach kol valdo, the opening of every valdo, of every womb, buchra kola, every single firstborn of b'nei Yisrael, shall be brought before me. Now let's see over here in the Ma'atzar, he elaborates a little bit over here. It's interesting what he says over here. Pasuk Tezayin Arei Afrasha Mufrashin. L'shoin Hafrasha Vehavdola. Okay, this means separation. Loi Tirgame Kolosh Makosav Yehavin Yehavin. It says, he's saying that the correct translation of the word nisunim really should have been, if we were writing the Targum, Yehovin. Yehovin means to give over. The gam loy tegim kilael misirin yehivin. There's another word. I know it's very hard to read what it says here. The copy is horrible. But the other word over here says misirin means to be delivered. Ayin sham. The Tirgem Nisunim Harishoin Makarke. He's going over explaining. Now, he's not explaining. He's not coming to explain what is the Machlaikis. But it appears there is over here a major Machlaikis of what exactly is the purpose of Sheva Levi. How does Sheva Levi differentiate themselves from the Kohanim? The Kohanim are... What is a Kohen? A Kohen means it means really a teacher. Kohen is a priest. What exactly is a priest? This pasuk is a very critical pasuk because this pasuk over here says that they are nosun. They are nisunim heimolim mitoch b'nei Yisrael. We really need to go back and study this. I don't have good chidush to tell you here, but this really is a very critical pasuk because this pasuk defines the role of a Levi, in contrast to the role of the Kohanim. Now the Kohanim, a Sheva Levi, it says in general, it says about them, al kein lo yechelek levnei Levi, ki Hashem hu nachalosai. Hashem is their nachala. The entire Sheva Levi did not have a chelek in the land. Okay, I don't have the right pasuk.
Did they get cities?
No, they did not get cities. No, they got nothing.
They did?
Nothing. No, they got nothing. Levi got nothing. The entire Sheva Levi got nothing. L'asa Lovai, in the Bayis Shlishi, in Sefer Yecheskel, it says they're going to get land. But not now. Now they got nothing.
Who owned the Iyer Mikla? I thought those cities that got, the Kahanim got nothing. I thought the Levim got cities.
Right, the Ari Mikl got that, I thought.
I think the Ari Mikl were given from...
They got 40 some odd cities, no?
I don't think it was theirs. I think it was the other... It was the territory of the Shvatim, and the Shvatim had to give to the Levim Ari Miklat. I don't believe the Levim actually owned the land, the Ari Miklat. When it says in the past that Sheva Levi has no chelik, it includes the Levim as well. Listen, the Kohanim also had cities. It says the Kohanim also had. We read about this in the Kinos on Tisha B'Av, is that there were 24 cities of Kohanim. It doesn't mean they owned those cities. Though they lived in those cities rent free, or maybe they actually had to pay rent. The city
was in Parshas Korach. Hashem tells Aaron, "Vayomashem al Aaron, be'arasim le'tincho, v'chelakol yilecho b'toychem, ani chelakol nachlo b'toych bnei Yisrael, l'vnei Levi." And then he goes on to say what the bnei Levi is, but it doesn't say an isher of having.
If I'm not mistaken, maybe I'm wrong, but I think what I'm mistaken is they did not have territory. All of the Shvatim have massive chunks of land in Eretz Yisrael. These Shvatim were required to designate a section of what they had for the Levim to set up Ari Miklat. But when the day was over, they had no territory. There was no Goyrul where, okay, we're now going to find a piece of territory in the land that's going to belong to Shevet Binyamin and a territory that belongs to Shevet Menashe. And a territory that belongs to Shevet Reuven. And we look at a map. You take out a map in the back of the article.
I thought the Kiddush was the Bnei Yisrael could not even give the Kahanim cities. They couldn't give them. I mean, at least they gave to the Levim, they had cities, whatever it was.
Well, it says the
Kahanim had nothing. They couldn't even take it.
So where do they live? Where do they live then? How are they supposed to live? I don't know exactly. You're asking very tough questions, but I don't know the answer to. But we do mention in the Kinois on Tisha B'Av that the Kohanim lived in their own unique cities. They did have cities. There were 24 cities designated for the 24 Mishmaris of Kohanim. Oh, but it says in Chazal that the Kohanim did not have cities. They didn't have territory. But they were given a place to live in different sections of the land. By the other Shvatim. There's a difference between dividing up the land, dividing up territory, taking the entire piece of Eretz Yisrael and cutting it into different sections and designating this section to be the portion of Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda, Yisachar, v'chulu v'chulu. But Levi did not, Sheva Levi did not have a chunk of land as territory. Where then did they live? The Shvatim were required to set aside a city or a certain location in their territory for the use of the Kohanim and the Levim. And from that, there were 48 cities which were set aside for Ari Miklat. But the owner of those cities, the one who owned the land, the territory in those cities, was not the Levim. It was the territory of the other Shvatim. There is a difference between territory and a city located in a specific territory. In any event, let's put it aside for right now. Over here in this pasuk, it says Nisunim. This pasuk over here, according to Rashi, implies that we take the word Nisunim literally, that they shall give of themselves. They shall pick themselves up and they shall enter into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Mishkan, and say, here we are, we are giving ourselves, our talent over to you for these two purposes. Number one, to sing, to participate in the Shira, and number two, to carry the Kalim as we travel in the desert. Rash, Unkelus doesn't say that. Unkelus says the Levim come and they withdraw from their daily activities to be available for Hashem. What is their role? Well, the Gizborim, the Kohanim, will say, you Levi, you shall do this. You Levi, we want you to carry this item. They're not. It's subtle. It's a very subtle difference, but it's very significant. If you say the word there, parush, it means that if not for this pasuk, Sheva Levi would be involved in society. Sheva Levi is no different than every other member of Klal Yisrael. Every member of Klal Yisrael, they're in business. They're either they're in the stock market, or they're a computer programmer, they're a lawyer, they're a plumber, they're an electrician, you name it. They're out there. They're out there making money. They're out there having fun. Oh, Sheva Levi, we are going to be Purushim. We are not going to go to college. We're not going to learn a trade. We're not going to get a doctorate in this. We're just going to withdraw. We will withdraw from society and we will be available to serve. What will we do? That's secondary. We'll do. We'll sing shir. We will carry the kalim. We'll be guardians. The focus is withdraw from engaging in activities of making a livelihood. That's the way the Targum looks. Rashi says, no, that's not what you're doing. The focus is not to withdraw. The focus is to engage, to give of yourself, to enter into the Beis HaMikdash and say, this is what we want to do. And there are many nafkaminas between these two approaches. According to Rashi, it may very well be that the Levim have jobs. They're plumbers, they're electricians, they're computer programmers, they're doctors, they're lawyers, you name it. They're college professors. But besides having a profession, they also, in their free time, they give of themselves. They deliver Tomchei Shabbos packages. We want a donation from you. The donation we want from you is not money. It's give of your talent to sing Shira. Give of yourself to carry the kalim. We want you to give of yourselves. We're not telling you to withdraw from society. Kohanim are withdrawn from society. I don't have the pasuk in front of me to prove that to you. But Kohanim are in a different class. Kohanim are completely withdrawn from society. They have absolutely nothing to do with society. They are from the cradle. They are removed, completely isolated. Their only focus in life is to serve Hashem. They are trained 24/7 to serve Hashem. Question is, are Levim equivalent to the Kohanim in that matter? They're completely withdrawn from society, but their role in the Beis HaMikdash is different. Their role is, they're not going to bring the korbanos. They're not offering korbanos. They're going to sing Shira. They're going to carry the kalim. They have a different role. Or is the pshat? No.
Mishmaros.
What?
I thought the kohanim came on mishmaros, 2 weeks a year, and the rest of the time.
The rest of the time they sat and learned. They prepared the halachas. They learned halachas and also they elevated themselves spiritually the whole year in order to be ready. Even though they only served 1 day, 2 days, 2 days a year, because each mishmar served once in 24 weeks, and each mishmar was broken down to 6 parts, but you had to be on an elevated spiritual level to do the avod. So you have to be moved up. And I'll prove you that there's some truth to this because there is a halacha of giving honor, v'ki dashtoi. There is a mitzvah to sanctify the Kohanim. L'chol davar shebekedusha, they go first. When it comes to benching, who is the one that is honored with leading the benching? The Kohanim. I don't remember all the laws, but there is a halacha, who gets the first aliyah? A Kohen. You only give a Levi the second aliyah if there is a Kohen. Because the Levi is there to serve the Kohen. When there is no Kohen, according to the halacha, the Levi has no kedima. There's no halacha that a Levi goes first. When it comes to benching, you don't say Bereshus HaLevim. There's no such thing. There's a whole thing about when it comes to a Bris Milah. A Bris Milah might be different because there's a whole different topic of Bris Milah. That's a different topic. But when it comes to Berchas Kohanim, you don't say Bereshus HaKohanim or Bereshus HaLevim. No such thing. Levim don't get any special honor. Levim are servants of Kohanim. They help the Kohanim, but they're not Kohanim. They're not on the level of Kohanim. They just give of themselves to Kohanim. Rashi is very careful not to say what the Targum said. Rashi saw the Targum. Rashi saw the word nesunim means to withdraw. Unculus, to a degree, is giving the Levium the same sanctity as Kohanim. Kohanim are muvdal, they're purushim. They have nothing to do with society. They're in koilel 24/7. They learn the halachas. They're holy people. Maybe they were teachers. They taught Torah to Klal Yisrael, but they were removed from the ordinary life of a regular Yisrael. They did not make parnasa. They were the clergy. Question: what about the Levim? Were the Levim also clergy? They were perushim. They were set aside. They were supported by the tzibor. They taught the tzibor Torah, and that required that they should be completely separated from society. Or no, the Levim were ordinary people. They were truck drivers. They were lawyers. They did it all. They were pilots and Uber drivers. They were no different than your average Joe. And the proof is, you know, there's no halacha anywhere to give a Levi special honor. However, being that they did come from a unique tribe, they were the ones who had rights, first rights. Not only first rights, they were the only ones that were able to sing in the Beis HaMikdash. They were the only ones that were able to carry the kelim. So it's not fair. On my day off, I would also like to come to the Beis HaMikdash and participate in the orchestra, right? I'm also a cab driver. So I also get to daven in shul. I also daven shachris and musaf. In fact, I'm the Baal Musaf on Yom Kippur. So why can't I also come to the Beis HaMikdash and participate on the duchan and sing shira, and my grandchildren will stand there in the Ezras Yisrael and take pictures of me, and they can go home and show on the wall, look at Zaidi. Zaidi was singing with such a beautiful voice. Zaidi, the taxi driver, he's singing with a beautiful voice on the duchan. Why not? Why not? I also, so only a Levi has that right to do that. But it doesn't mean the Levi is anything special. He's the one that's nisunim. He's nason lamasa, nason mashir. But he's not, the Levi is not a holy man. The Levi is not on the madrega of a Kohen to be called a holy, sacred person who doesn't drive Uber cars and only sits in Koilel Chazonish in Bnei Barak. That's not a Levi. That's not what a Levi does. Or maybe he does do that. It appears this is a very subtle machlokes between Unculus and Rashi. Unculus went out of his way to take a word, nisunim, which would ordinarily be translated with the word misurim, are given over, or with the word yehovin, to give, and he went out of his way to translate the words nisunim as pirushim, which has a very different connotation. They are separated from the rest of society. They're separate. I don't do that. I don't clean kitchen floors. I don't mop. I don't change tablecloths. I'm not a waiter. Sorry, I don't do this. This is not my, I don't drive, I don't work for Uber. They're Purushim. Rashi saw this. He read what it says in Unculus. And Rashi says, Oy Gewalt, what is this guy doing here? Unculus, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You're upgrading a Levi to the status of a Kohen. Before we turn around, I'm going to go to someone's house. They say, Berushus HaKohanim, or Berushus HaLevim. And let's say there's no Kohen in Shul. What are they going to do? Oh, there's no Kohen. Let's give cover to the Levi. He's a parish. Gewalt, what are you doing, Unculus? What are you doing? A Levi, he's just your ordinary Tom, Dick, and Harry. Who does he think he is? No, he gets to sing Shira. No, very good. So we have here at my shul, we have a guy, he's a ganav. I know a guy in shul, he's a ganav. He's a tyrant. He treats his wife and children like garbage. And every Shabbos, he's the one that says the Shalos Shudas Torah. By Shalos Shudas, he's always the guy that gets up and he says beautiful chidushim from Helika chidushim. Sometimes they even let him in Mechabim when the Rav's not here. He is Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch. Big deal. The Ganav says the Shalos Shudas Torah. Big deal. So the Levi, he gets to go to the Beis Hamikdash and he stands on the Duchan and he sings such a beautiful voice. Chazak, 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 chazak. Right? He says, good for him. That's what Rashi said about. What are you doing, Uncleus? You're calling Levi a Parush. He's no Parush. He's an Uber driver. And he just happens to have rights to sing in the Beis Hamikdash. Just like in Shul, the Ganav, he gets to say the Shalos Shudas Torah. Big deal. Yuppie-doo. Big deal. This is a fundamental machlekes, but obviously Uncleus disagrees. Uncleus says, no. We don't just let any guy go on the Duchan and sing Shira. That's right, he's a parush. And you know what? Maybe that's right. If there's no Kohen in Shul, maybe Taka you should be mechabed the Levi to go first. And maybe that's right. So you know, it's interesting. We do and we don't. We do. There's a lot of confusion in this matter. A Levi, you're right, Me'ikar HaDin, a Levi, we don't give him any kavod. But yet you do find that people do give kavod to Levi. And you have to go through the halachic safari. And some people will seem to indicate that there is a little degree of kavod that we, not like a kohen, there's no halacha v'kidashtoi, it doesn't say in the Torah the word v'kidashtoi by a kohen, but you do find that in many shuls when there is no kohen, go to your average shul, and there's ein kan kohen, yamoid, who do they call up? You'd be surprised, sometimes they call up a Levi. They do sometimes call up a Levi, why? There's no reason to call up a Levi. You see that there is a little bit of an element by a bris milah. There in the rishus, there's a whole nusach you say by a bris milah, and there you say rishus hakoyanim halavim. There's a big debate as to the correct girsa. Is the girsa by a bris? Next time you go to a bris milah, you say for benching, and you listen to the nusach that is said by the birchas hamazon. So there's a whole introduction before they bench, and there it says Bereshus HaKoyhanim. There are two girsois, HaKoyhanim HaLevim, Novav, which means the Koyhanim who are from Shevet Levi, and then there's another girsois Bereshus HaKoyhanim VeHaLevim. You ask permission from the Koyhanim and from the Levim. What are you doing? Since when do you give cover to the Levim? So you can argue maybe that Rishus follows the sheet of Uncleus. Uncleus holds they should be Perushim. And if they're Perushim, that entitles them to some degree of honor. Others will answer that by Bris Mila, the entire Shevet Levi gets honor because in the desert they will Moiser Nefesh to mal themselves the 40 years in the desert, where the average Yisroel did not perform a bris milah. So only by a bris milah do we give the Levim honor, because they were moiser nefesh in the 40 years in the desert to mal their children when everyone else did not, because they felt it was a sakana being in the desert, there was no wind, whatever the situation was, and the Shevet Levi, they were willing to be Moiser Nefesh to do this. So we give them special honor by a Bris Milah only, not because they have any special status of sanctity. But maybe you can argue. Look what it says here in the Targum. The Targum over here, maybe he disagrees with Rashi. We, Halacha L'mais and Shulchan Aruch, 99% Paskin, like what Rashi seems to say. Nisunim, they are given over, it's a donation of their time and talent. Period. but there's nothing special about them as being a person. Nothing special. It's true, Mila Hashem Elai, they came forward, they helped Moshe, so that's why they're privileged. And a section of the Kohane, of the Sheva Levi, became Kohanim. But not everyone. Not everyone. But Unkelis appears to disagree. So again, this is our goal here in this year, is to show, is Talmidei Chachamim, Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. We're here to make war. We're here to make war between Unkelis and Rashi. No peace. This is not...
Moshe Rabbeinu did his response to Korach. He says, Rav Lechem B'nei Levi, you already have your status. So
what does that mean? Okay.
Who would that be in line with, Rashi or Unkelis?
Both! Because either or, they're privileged characters. It's a subtle difference. But the common denominator, whether you learn like Unkelis or Rashi, they're privileged characters. One way or another, they have rights that the average person does not. They get the second aliyah. They wash the hands of the Kohanim, Birchas at a Duchening, Birchas Kohanim. They carry the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. They're special people. There's nothing to talk about. They do Shmira in the Beis HaMikdash. They Duchen. They play the musical instruments. That's right. They're privileged characters. No matter how you look at it. The only question is, how far does that go? Does that just mean, like I told you, they just, when they come as a tourist to the Beis HaMikdash, come to the front. You have rights. Or does it mean, no, it's a different way of life. If they are going to be doing these privileges, it means their whole life has to be different. Just like everyone agrees, the Kohanim are people who are completely moved on. They're not involved. They did not get territory. It was an agricultural society. This was the day before Silicon Valley. In those days, there was no indoor plumbing. There was no accountants. There were no computers. So what was the parnasa of the time of Chazal? Land, agriculture. Okay, there's no electricians, no plumbers, no college professors. So how do you make a living in the time of the Torah? Agriculture. So do you have a kibbutz or not? So when they came into Eretz Yisrael, the land was divided. Every Mishvatim, everyone was given territory. And guess who got nothing? Sheva Levi, you got nothing. Why did Sheva Levi get nothing? Because the Sheva Levi, are moved out. Which part of Sheva Levi, which section? Specifically the Kohanim. They're moved out. They're in Kohelel. They're elevating their neshamas to an exalted level so that when they do the Avodah, you know, they're special people. What about the Levim? What about what we call the Levim? What's their status? It's very confusing because they didn't get land. So Mr. Rappaport, you tell me they got the Ari HaLevim. Maybe you're right. Maybe those towns, maybe that was their territory. That would basically mean they're no different than anyone else. This territory for the Shvatim and the Levim got a little chelik in other people's land. They got cities here and there. They're the Ari Miklot. It's very, very hard to put your finger on what exactly is a Levi. We have conflicting signals. There is no mitzvah of Vikidashtoi. There's no halacha of Vikidashtoi. On the other hand, though, you do give a Levi Meiser, right? You give a Levi Meiser Rishon, 10%. But there's a very big difference between Meiser and Truma. Truma is sacred. Mishulchan Gavoya Kozach. If a Yisrael eats truma, there's a chiv misa bidei shamayim. Levi, you give Meiser Rishon. What happens if you eat a Yisrael eats Meiser Rishon? Nothing. And in fact, a Levi could invite you to his house. Why don't you come have dinner with me? And he's allowed to serve you Meiser Rishon. Once you give it to the Levi, Levi can do with his Meiser Rishon whatever he wants. He can give it back to you. There's no Kedusha Meiser Rishon. You must give him a gift, but it's not sacred. So if it's not sacred, why are you giving it to him? So we have conflicting signals as to the essence of a Levi. And these conflicting signals is rooted in something that we wouldn't even pay attention to if not for the Sefer Ma'atzar, where he says we have a pasuk, and this pasuk here is defining the essence of a Levi. Ki nisunim nisunim heimoli. This is a very powerful pasuk. This is what a Levi is. The Levi is nisunim nisunim. What does that mean? Targum onkelos. Arei af rosho mufreshim. These people are separated. Alarms go off. Red alarm, red alert. What in the world did the Targum just say? It's not the right way to translate the word Nisunim. It should say Yahavinon, or the word Misurin. I have a whole vocabulary for you in Aramaic to translate this word precisely. No, he decides Unkelus to violate all the rules of the Oxford unabridged edition of Aramaic, Biblical Aramaic, violates all the rules by giving us a whole new translation. This set off all the alarms in the Ma'atzari. Now go to Rashi. Look at Rashi. Rashi is writing a commentary on Onkelos. This is so super obvious. How come they never taught this to us? It's so super obvious. Oh no, what happened over here? I lost the place over here. Uh-oh. What did I do over here? This is the wrong page. Give me one moment here. Get it back. I was moving my hands here too quickly on this. All right, here it is. And here, Rashi. What is Rashi? Nisunim. Nisunim lemasa. Nisunim l'shir. I don't go for this, Unkelus. What are you talking about? The Purushim. They're not Purushim. They have a duty to give of their talent for carrying the kelim and for singing shir. Okay, that is what we wanted to discuss here. Let's dive very quickly with another pasuk, and we'll come out of time. Let's see, next pasuk number Yutes. V'ed es halevim nisunim l'aron. Now we have another nisunim. I will give es halevim nisunim, another nisina. Okay, I skipped the pasuk. Oh, I skipped a few pasuk, in fact. I'm sorry. Woohoo. I'm all mixed up over here. Ki li chol b'chol b'nei Yishol. Okay, now here we go over here, the history of how the Levim came about. The Levim were never meant to be. Okay, the Levim, the Avoida was meant to be to the Bukhar. This is a very sad pasuk. Ki li chol b'chol b'nei Yishol. Ki li chol b'chol b'nei Yishol. Ba'adam uva behema. It is to me every firstborn amongst the Bnei Yisrael. It is to me every firstborn amongst the Bnei Yisrael, ba'adam, amongst men, uva behema, b'yoyim, on the day ha'koyisi chobacho b'yaritz Mitzrayim, hekdash yoysam li. Everything all goes back to Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Yitzias, there was Makas Bukhairos. And Makas Bukhairos, every single firstborn in Egypt was slated for death, including the Jewish people. Once the Malach HaMaves was given Rishus L'Hashchis, does not differentiate. This is a very profound pasuk. The pasuk, we have to appreciate that at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's very hard to understand this. We're brainwashed that when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to save the Jewish people, it means we're going to be saved. No, we're not. That's not what's supposed to happen. Hashem says, I'm going to save a select group of the Jewish people. I'm not saving you all. Because halalu oivdi avodah zara vehalalu oivdi avodah zara. We were no better than them. That's what it says. I'm not making this up. We were no better than them. Halalu. So what happened? I'm going to save a select group, but not the firstborns. The firstborns are going to have to die, just like the firstborn Egyptians will have to die. The only difference in the Jews and the Mitzrayim was that I'm going to take out of Egypt everyone other than the firstborns. And then Hashem did with us Chesed Elyon. You know what? I'm not going to slaughter the firstborns. I will have mercy. I'm going to calm down myself and prevent the mashchis from taking the lives of the firstborn. It's not the pshat that it wasn't meant to be. If you learn the pesukim in a very simplistic manner, Hashem comes, Moshe, I want you to take out the Jewish people, and everyone's going to go out. Then it comes time for Makas Bechoros. All of a sudden, the firstborns are in jeopardy. Why should they even be in jeopardy? If it's not meant to be, if we were meant to be redeemed, there's no need to go the Dam Pesach, Dam Milah, and Hashem has to pass over us. Why are we subject? When it came to Dam, Tzardeya, Kinim, Arav, Dever, Shchin, Barot, Choshech, we find that we had to protect ourselves. We have to protect ourselves. For the Egyptians, it was Choshech, Ulchol, B'nei Yisrael, Choy, Arav, Mosh, Leisam. There were frogs jumping on the Egyptians, but for Klal Yisrael, there was no problem. Why, when it came to Makas Bechoros, all of a sudden we have to protect ourselves? The answer is because Makas Bechoros is different than all the other Makas. Makas Bechoros was meant for us also. We also have problems. We also have issues that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not pleased with. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided at the last minute, you know what? You're so good. I changed my mind. I'm not going to wipe you out. I'm not going to do it. Just go put down Pesach, down Milah, Ve'ever Alayich. I'm going to U'pasach Hashem ala Pesach. That, it's a whole different look at Yetzias Mitzrayim. But because of what I'm going to do, you owe me, big time. You owe me. And what do you owe me? You're going to have to serve me. Every firstborn is going to have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then what happened? We blew it. We worshiped the eagle. So Hashem says, you know, I don't want you anymore. But because I took you out, this and that, we're going to have to make an exchange. We're going to exchange the firstborns with the Levim. I took the Levim in exchange. I gave the Levim over. They're going to be given over to Aaron to service the witness of Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael ala koi. Just the Rashi, and we'll stop. Not gonna have time to targum. Ki pasuk yitzayin kli bol b'chayos shol shalicha yoha b'chayos. They were mine. They were mine. Bekav hadin, according to the letter of the law. She ganchi aleihem. I came with this word. She ganti. It's a test. She ganti aleihem. I protected them. Bein b'chayos mitzrayim v'lotachti yosam li. Ad Shato Be'egel, until the Be'egel. Yachshav, Ekach HaSalim, now taking the leave in exchange. V'edna, Chamish upon Nema B'nei Yisrael B'mikra Zeh, L'hodiya Chibatun Sheshenichavu Eskele Seihem V'mikra Echad Kenin Chamish Chum Shei Torah V'kach Lis B'Bei Yisrael. Yes, we'll talk about it in the mission of 5 times. Lo Yim B'nei Yisrael Negev Shelo Yitztorchu L'gesh L'kodesh Shem Yigshu Yeh Negev. It's an incredible Rashi what it says over here. Is that I'm doing you a very big favor that I'm selecting the Levim to do the service of carrying, to carry the army, because if I would not select the Levim, and the Yisraelim would be forced to carry the Kalim, the Yisraelim would die. Because the sanctity of the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash is so great, it would cause you to die. So therefore, I did you a toiv that I selected people who are naturally holy, that are immune to the danger of carrying the mitzvah. This also is a chesed. It's an incredible thing. What's going on over here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a chesed by saving the firstborns. And the firstborns are failures. They're the ones that should be doing the avodah. But so they can't. So what would they do? They can't do the avodah, but at least they would have to participate in carrying the Mishkan and doing various things in the Mishkan. But because they're really not up to it, if they were to do it, they would die. So instead, I'm going to go take members of Klal Yisrael who are very, very holy, who are naturally holy. The proof being is when the Moshe said, Mila Shemilai, they're going to be the replacements in order to protect you, that you should not die when you come close to serve Hashem in the capacity of carrying the Aron, the Chulu Chulu. All right, we're out of time. We'll stop here. Thank you for coming and listening. Have a wonderful evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Greatly appreciated.
Thank you for coming. Please, the honor is mine.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful evening. Be well.
Stay well.